We turn in our Bibles over to Joshua chapter 22, Joshua 22 and verse 20 is where we're going to read today. We've been dealing with loneliness, how sometimes God places us in a place of loneliness. He wants us there, and sometimes we're there for ministry, and sometimes we're there for position. But today and tonight, we're going to talk about being in a place of loneliness because of yourself. You know, sometimes we're in a lonely place because of decisions we make in our lives. And we're going to cover that this morning partially and then cover the rest tonight. But I hope you examine yourself today and you say, well, I'm so alone. Well, you know, sometimes we need to examine ourselves and look at ourselves and see what kind of person we are to others. Because if you're not about others and you're all about yourself and you're somebody nobody wants to be around, you're going to be alone, right? So if you're always alone, nobody wants to be around you, it might be a good time to look in the mirror and go, maybe it's me, right? If you would please stand in honor of God's word, if you're able. If you're not, we understand. Joshua 22:20 said, did not Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man perished not alone in his iniquity. Our sin will always hurt other people. It'll hurt our family. It'll hurt our friends. It'll hurt our acquaintances. It may hurt people we don't even know. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, God. I thank you for everyone here. Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know the free pardon of sin, anyone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray today may be the day of salvation. Help them to realize that salvation doesn't come through a church or through a denomination, but it comes through you, a personal relationship with you, God. A personal relationship with you through your shed blood. Lord, help me to say nothing in the flesh, but everything in the Spirit. Bind the hands of demonic forces this morning. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ on your servant and on this church. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, we've discussed, like I said, for many weeks about loneliness. We've discussed about the many instances where God chooses to place us in loneliness. And listen, if God has placed you in a position of loneliness for a time of trial, for a time of testing, whatever it may be, even in a ministry position, then hey, just serve Him with all you have and know that He's in control. Amen. However, many of our lonely times are due to our choices in our own lives. Achan, notice, did not perish alone. He didn't die alone. His choices cost him his family, cost him his friends, cost him people in the camp other than him. And we need to keep that in mind. You know, Numbers 16:31 talks about Korah. Korah stood against Moses. And Korah said, hey, me and my people. And he had a band behind him. They stood against Moses. And the ground opened up and swallowed them. They went straight to hell, the Bible says. Took them straight to hell. See, Korah did not perish alone. Many of his family went straight to hell. You know, Romans 14:7 says, for none of us live to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Listen, some people have the common sense to separate from those who are in trouble. Listen, if you have any common sense at all, you know not to run around with people that's going to be going to jail, that's going to be arrested, that's going to get shot at. Amen. You should have some common sense there. Those people are alone, and they're alone because of the choices they've made in life. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. See, your attitude and your actions many times places you in a place of loneliness. The Bible says if you're not friendly, you're not going to have friends. And you wonder why you walk around them mad and you're grumpy at everybody and you snap at everybody. Well, I'm alone. Nobody wants to be around me. Well, I wonder why. Amen. Listen, if you have the love of Christ in your life, you should be friendly. Amen. Proverbs 22:24 says, make no friendship with an angry man. You can put other things in there. Make no friendship with a gossiper. Make no friendship with a drug addict, with a sex pervert, with a liar. I mean, the list goes on and on. Listen, folks, there's just some people you don't want to be around. Because you know if you're around them, there's going to be trouble. Amen. So today, let's talk about a few of our self-inflicted reasons for loneliness. First of all, burning bridges everywhere you go will lead to loneliness. If you burn a bridge everywhere you go, you're going to be alone. You can only hurt so many people. You can only hurt so many things before people say, don't get around them, you're going to get burned. Amen. I think about Laban and Jacob. In Genesis chapter 31, it says, Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. Here's Jacob, and he leaves. He takes his wives, and he didn't even tell Laban he was leaving. He just took off. And that showed a lack of character on Jacob's part.
You say, what should Jacob have done? He should have went to Laban and said, look, I've worked for you this many years. Hey, listen, I think it's time to go. Hey, I appreciate all you've done. Hey, but we're leaving. But he didn't have any character, did he? He said, no, I'm just going to take off. And listen, if Laban hadn't have followed him, he never would have even got a message from Jacob saying, I'm gone. That's the wrong way, amen. He burned a bridge there, amen. Burned a bridge. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. Christians should do things the right way. There's a biblically right way to do things. There's a biblically wrong way to do things, amen. But Christians should always do things decently and in order. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You need to approach every situation as if you're doing it for the Lord. How would the Lord handle this situation? Listen, folks, Christians, you should always give a two-week notice at your job. You should be the best worker at your job, amen? You say, you don't know how they treat me, Brother Jeff. Listen, do it as unto the Lord, not unto men. Do it as if you're working for the Lord, which you are. You're representing Him, amen? That's what we should do. You know, Mark 12:31 says, and the second like, namely, is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ephesians 5:29 says, for no man ever hath hated his own flesh. Listen, Christians need to treat people in situations as they would want to be treated. Listen, if you take that attitude that, look, I'm going to treat this situation, I'm going to treat this person like I want to be treated, you do it the right way. Amen? Put yourself in their shoes for a change. Proverbs 11:17 says, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. Let me state this. If you don't love yourself, you're not going to love others. That's why people are lonely, is because they hate themselves. And because they hate themselves, they treat others the way they treat themselves. Amen. Listen, if you hate yourself, you're never going to treat people with the love of Christ. Amen. The love begins with Jesus. And then having Jesus in your life and having Him work through you and radiate out through you. Amen. That's what it should be about. Romans 13:12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. The key point is that Christians should handle problems differently than the world. The Bible says, don't act this way. Don't walk this way. Walk as children of light, amen? You should handle things differently than the world does, amen? But many times, sadly, even in the church, we don't handle things the way God tells us to handle them. Amen? Listen, secondly, bad moral decisions will lead to loneliness. I think the best example is in Genesis 19 when we look at Lot and his life. In verse 1, it starts off right at the beginning. It says, Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And we won't read the whole story, but we'll just talk about a few points here. But Lot's presence in Sodom was a bad moral decision. See, he saw Sodom, and Abraham said, choose the land. And he saw Sodom, and it looked pleasurable to the eyes. I mean, it looked like something he would enjoy. It looked good. It looked like there wouldn't be any problems. He'd have the world there. And it cost him everything. Cost him everything. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if he provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith. See, Lot did not provide spiritually for his family. I want to talk about this for just a moment. See, Lot made a bad moral decision. Your decisions in life may cost you your family, may cost their spirituality. Listen, husbands, be leaders in your homes. Amen? Amen? Amen. Wives, be leaders in your homes. Be the spiritual person that God wants you to be. Lead your family into church. Lead your family in the right ways. Amen? You say, why didn't Lot do that? Well, first of all, Lot loved his position more than his family. It says Lot sat in the gate. See, in the gate, what they did, they were judges. And they sat in the gate, and Lot loved his position. My daddy, let's move. Hey, this is full of sin. This is happening at school. This is happening here. Let's get out of here. And Lot's going, no, I can't leave my position. How many of us take jobs somewhere that we know it's going to hurt our family, but we look at those dollar signs and say, ooh, but look at the money, right? See, Lot loved wealth more than he loved family. Notice in 13:10, let me read this to you. It says that before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, it says, it is even as the garden of the Lord and like the land of Egypt. Do you get that? Egypt's a type of the world. But guess what? It says that it looked like the garden of the Lord, comparing it to Eden. It looked good on the outside. It looked pleasurable, and that's the way sin is. It looks great on the outside. But once you get there, it destroys you. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. See, Sodom was exceedingly sinful, but it still had the attraction that Lot longed for. Then thirdly, Lot loved sin more than he did his family. I mean, Genesis 18:20 says, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down there and see whether have done altogether according to the cry of it. I mean, why didn't Lot move his family earlier? I mean, Lot wasn't stupid. He saw it. I mean, the angels come in. He knew what was going to happen. He said, hey, y'all get out of the street. It's getting nightfall, right? Why did he say that? Because he knew what happened at night. They come out and they were going to rape those men. They talked about that in Scripture. He said, bring them out that we may know them. They wanted that sin in their life. And Lot knew it was there, but yet he did nothing about it. And then Lot loved Sodom overall more than he loved himself and God. He loved it more. You say, how do you know? Because the angel said, get out of here, because God's about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And it says in chapter 19, 15, 16 that they laid hold on him. They had to drag him out of the city. They had to take him out. He loved it so much, even knowing it was going to be destroyed. He said, no, I want to stay just a little longer. Let me stay a little longer. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Amen. Then they told him in Genesis 19, they say, escape to the mountain. They said, take your family. He said, no, I want to go to Zoar. They said, why do you want to go to Zoar? He said, but it's just a little one. Just a little one. Let me go over here to this little city. Why do you want to go over there? Because it was little. And he said, it's just a little sin. They're not as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah. I just want a little sin. And he went over into Zoar. But notice what happened in Zoar. In Zoar, guess what happened? It says that he was scared. It scared him there. He feared to dwell in Zoar. I mean, listen, any sin places you in a guilty position before God. Any sin. James 2:10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. One sin, it doesn't matter about the little sin of Zoar. If it's sin, it's sin before God. Amen. But listen to what happened. Why did he fear? He got in there and he said, I'm scared. I'm going to go back where God originally told him to go. Isn't that the way we are? God says, go over here. And we say, no, God, I just want to stay over here in a little bit of this sin. And after we get there, we're going, you know, I made a mistake. I should have went where God told me to go. Amen. But he was feared. Let me tell you what I think happened. He feared because there was a little sin over here. No doubt they had the same sin that Sodom had and the Gomorrah had, but it wasn't quite as much as from a worldly standpoint that we would think, but they still had it. And so they see the fire rain down and everything, and then here's this one guy and his daughter show up, and they're like going, you're the only one that come out? Your little group here is it? What happened? Right? And boy, you want to turn somebody on you quick, Brother Walker? You just tell them when something bad happens, some kind of destruction, and it's evident it's from God and His judgment, you just tell them it's God's judgment and you watch what happens. You know what? They said, what was it, Lot? What happened? They said, oh, there's sin over there. God brought down fire and hell and brimstone and blew up the place because of their sin. And all of a sudden they said, wait a minute. You know, we're tolerant around here. You know, hey, it's not sin. That just happened naturally, right? They got offended. And so Lot had to leave. That's why he feared, because they got offended that it was judgment. Listen, being alone doesn't mean you won't continue in sin. Bird, Ken, you can get a song ready. Genesis 19:31. And the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old. Here's the two daughters. They've gone up to the mountain. And they said, hey, let's get him drunk so he will lay with us and we'll continue our seed on. We'll have children from our father. But I want you to get this. The daughters did not make him drink the alcohol. They didn't hold open his mouth and tie him down and pour it down him. He chose to drink of it. And because he chose to drink, it led to more sin. You can say no. Amen. Also, I want to end with this. Listen, the daughters offered him alcohol, but they had an ulterior motive. See, they weren't giving it to him for pleasure. And listen, young people and adults alike, people don't give you drugs and alcohol and stuff just because they want to be your friend. Every one of them's got an ulterior motive. Every one of them, either they're wanting to take advantage of you in some way, or they're wanting some money from you in some way, but it's not for your benefit. There's always an ulterior motive behind drugs and alcohol, period. Always. I've been around it all my life. I was around it in college, and every time I got offered any kind of drug, it wasn't say, hey, I can be friend, hey, you're my buddy, here, take some of this. No way it was. They want you to get you hooked on it. And once you're hooked on it, then you got to start giving them money. Amen? Well, you can just take that 2 cents, will you? Amen. You know, Lot wound up alone in a cave, Genesis 19:30, because of his bad choices. Listen, folks, we'll finish this up tonight. But if your bad choices put you in a bad situation, listen, if you're not serving God, if you're not living for God, if you don't love the Lord, you're making some bad choices right now. And these bad choices are going to affect your sons, they're going to affect your daughters, they're going to affect your family. You may think, oh, it's no problem, I can still be. No, you can't. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no morality. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no hope. Amen. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no family structure. Serve Jesus. Love Jesus. You say, Bro Jeff, I don't know that I'm saved. Listen, if you don't know you're saved, come down today. One of our altar workers will show you how you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved when you walk out these doors. You don't have to guess. The Bible says in 1 John, you can know that you're born again. Amen. Maybe you're a Christian. You say, Brother Jeff, my life's just not what it should be. I've made some bad choices, and I need to get back on the right track. Whatever the need is this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, everyone standing, if you're able. Brother Ken, as you sing one verse, if nobody moves,